Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Foot Traffic. Today, I get to interview Rachel Rogers of Hello 7. Rachel has recently written a book that has just been, you've probably seen it all over social, Instagram, it is everywhere. Everybody's talking about her new book, Why We Should All Be Millionaires. Now, if you are a millionaire, you have a seven-figure business, I want you to still tune into this conversation. Now, I thought this would be a great topic that people would want to hear. And I sometimes do this where I read a book or I go to a conference and I think I'm not here for the content. I'm just here to maybe prompt the questions, or I'm here to watch how they're putting on this event. And that was one of those things where I was like, I am a millionaire, or I have a million-dollar business. Like, we'll see what I get out of this book. I just want to have really good questions that made sense with Rachel. And I just kept writing down note after note after note. So if you are a seven or maybe eight figure business owner, this could be a really great refresher. Maybe things that you've already learned and you put into place 5 years ago that, oh my goodness, you aren't utilizing anymore. So I really want to dive in, and I get to ask Rachel some really great questions. She is now an eight-figure entrepreneur, just crushing it. She was recently on the Drew Barrymore show. I mean, this girl is on fire, and I cannot wait for you to meet her if you do not know who she is already. So let's jump into our Rachel Rogers interview. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hi there, Rachel. Welcome to Foot Traffic. So excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we are going to be talking about your new book, which is all about why we should all be millionaires, which gotta love that title right there. Beautiful cover, by the way. I love the look of the book in general. So I listened to it on Audible. So I got to hear you actually read the book and go through it. And I'm really excited to bring this topic to our community today. I think it's such an important topic. And a lot of things you said, I'm like, people aren't saying that. People are, oh, it's okay to be a six-figure entrepreneur. That's a great goal. And you're like, listen, I don't think that's gonna really cut it. So Rachel, can you kind of dive in, share a little bit of your background? How did you get here? Why this book? And we'll just dive in.
Yes. Well, thank you for the compliments on the cover. And that audiobook was actually a real labor of love, I will say. I found it painful. I mean, maybe my extrovert came out because I was sitting by myself, like just reading to myself for days.
I will say though, not everybody reads their own book, and I like it way better when it's the author.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun. It was fun to sort of be able to speak out loud and deliver the jokes, you know, and things like that, you know. It was pretty cool. But yeah, and that honestly, the audiobook has sold just as much as the hardcover.
I'm
it might be outpacing it at this point, which is amazing. I've been blown away by that. But yes, entrepreneurs, right? We got things to do. We got to listen on the go. That's why podcasts are so big. Okay, so where do I begin with this journey? I mean, I grew up in Flushing, Queens, and you know, watch my dad do some entrepreneurial sort of side hustle kind of stuff when he needed to make money. So I guess that's the first seed that was planted for entrepreneurship. But also there was like just a lot of financial distress in my household growing up. And so that's what I was aiming towards solving for myself. Even as a teenager and as a young adult, I was very focused on how much can I get paid for that? Because I just understood how money is so important. And I actually find it, as someone who grew up without much, I find it really irritating when people are like, money's not that important. And I'm just like, that's spoken from a very privileged place, isn't it? You know, like when you've been broke and you understand that money buys food and buys housing and buys healthcare, you know, like money 100%. Is very important. And so that's, I feel like I wrote this book because it's essentially like my manifesto to say, listen, get your money, right? Like, what are you out here doing? Let's get focused. And the reason why we're unfocused, right, is because of so much systemic, you know, bullshit, honestly, that we have to deal with, you know, racism and sexism and all of the isms that we deal with. And they're built into our laws. They're built into our systems. And so the world is designed for women to not make money. And it's definitely designed for women of color, especially, not to make money. And we can see a perfect example of that with the pandemic, right? Like, oh, there's no school. Cool. That's your problem and yours alone as women, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which obviously that seriously affects our ability to earn a living and take care of said children, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what this book is meant to be, a call to arms to say, listen, there is far more money available to us than we believe because of what our culture has taught us and what systems in place have done. However, we can win even if the system is designed not for us to win. So let us take action and mobilize and go make a lot more money.
Mm, so good. So you talk in the book about, I love how the chapters were, you know, $1 million lies and $1 million stories and all of that. What are some of the common lies you see women telling themselves or really truly believing?
Yes. Well, believing that what we get in a paycheck is all that's available to us. I mean, that's the first one, right? Yeah. And you know, if you grew up in a working class family, it's something that you would think. But I had the benefit of seeing my dad when he lost his, both of my parents got laid off at the exact same time. At one point in my childhood. And then from there on, we had financial struggles before then, but then it was really bad after that. And I saw him, you know, buy an old van, put up flyers and was like offering to move people and offering to like move furniture or whatever, things that needed moving.
Yeah.
And my sister was sort of embarrassed by this because everybody else's parents had like full-time jobs at some corporation. They went into the city every day in Manhattan. And I was like, this is cool. You know, I didn't even understand why we would be embarrassed about it.
Yeah. And it's funny because it just shows like, he's the visionary. He's the ideas guy. He's like, how do we do this? And you're right alongside being like, ooh, okay. Right. That's normal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So how can we get past this thinking that like whatever I'm collecting in my paycheck each week is the only money that's available to me? That's not true. And I think it really starts with knowing your value. And there's a chapter called $1 million value that's really about that. Really dig in and think about what are your innate skills and talents that we all have and are born with, right? What do you have experience doing? What are the, take stock of what you have to offer the world that is valuable that you can exchange for value, right? In the form of money, preferably lots of it. And so it's like, once you get clear on that, then you've got negotiating power. Then you raise your prices, right? Then you start approaching the clients who need you and stop talking to the people who don't, because they're not going to pay you. Talk to the people who need that skill set. Yeah. So I think that is the first thing, is getting past the paycheck and getting past this belief that I can only make like this limited sum, or people who do what I do only make this, or other lawyers only charge that, whatever it is. I've heard it all. And it's your money is only limited by your brain, right? It's not limited in real life. It's just your thinking that's limiting it.
Yeah. So I brought this up earlier about the six figures. So I am a seven-figure entrepreneur as well. And people will say to me, I'm not really that driven. I don't really need that. I think I'm just looking for like six figures. And you bring up in the book that, listen, this is actually not as amazing as it sounds. Can you kind of go off of that a little bit and share?
Yes. I find that I'm so over having that conversation with women who are like, I really don't need to make money. Cause first of all, there's sort of an attempt to get the moral high ground, right? Like, I don't need money because I'm, I don't know, a saint, right? It's like, you live in this capitalist society, just like the rest of us. You got bills to pay, right? And there's going to be limits on your options as long as there's limits on your income, right? Where you can send your kid, what experiences you can have with them, what travel experiences you could have as a family, any of the things that you, every day, what you can eat, how healthy you can eat, how often you can go to the doctor. You know what I mean? There's so much connected to money that I think this whole idea, and I think that's exactly what our society is designed for women to believe, right? For women to believe, I don't need money, right? Like, oh, I'm just endlessly generous. I don't need to be paid. And I'm like, bullshit, okay? I don't believe you. I actually don't think there's anything, you know, morally, you know, worth celebrating because someone is like, I don't care about money. Mm-hmm. But then what do you care about? Because, and how would money further that, right?
Yeah.
Me as a Black woman, I care about the advancement of my people. And so how can me making money contribute to that, right? If I make money beyond just what I need to survive, then I have extra that I can then use to make the world a better place and affect the causes that I really care about.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, is like, I've made six figures. It was not enough. I was, you know, living in New York City and I had, you know, three kids and not enough to pay mortgage. The two kids in daycare were more than my mortgage. So the two things together was like, I don't know, 80% of my income was going to childcare and mortgage.
Yeah.
And there was not much left. So there was zero disposable income, even though I was a six-figure earner. So the other thing I will say to you too is, you know, I had a team in my law practice when I was making six figures and I couldn't pay them very well either, right? Like I could pay them a certain salary, but I couldn't go much higher than that because I literally could not afford to. So there's a lot of ways that you can treat your customers better. You can treat your team. Now my team has a 401k, they've got profit sharing, they got health benefits, they've got paid time off, all the things, right? Because I can afford to give them that. And so money is not the root of all evil, right? Money is not this negative thing and it's not impressive because you don't want more, right? It's actually impressive if you understand how to use it as a neutral tool to accomplish whatever your goals are, right? And I think a lot of us have good goals, positive goals, goals in which we can make the world better than it is right now.
Yeah, I love it. And I think too, it might not be, it could be, I don't need money. It could be, well, I don't need that much money. And I think sometimes it's just a lack of understanding of what it takes to run a business at six, multiple six. So somebody might say that just not understanding, you might not be that happy at multiple six figures when you money is still tight, or you're still doing a lot of the wearing the multiple hats, doing seven different positions. And then pretty soon you realize I need to make more money just to get out of doing all of this other stuff that I don't want to do anymore.
Exactly. And the thing is you can hire people who love to do that thing and pay them well. And now you've provided a job and guess what? An environment where a woman or a person of color or a queer person or a disabled person is not treated like crap, right? You can provide an amazing workplace, like exactly what you were hoping for when you graduated from wherever, right? So that's one of the benefits. And as I'm an eight-figure business owner now, and I work less than I ever have in my entire life. So if you think you're going to work more, it's actually the opposite. You will work more if you stay in that. I honestly, it's so funny because we have something called the Hello 7 Growth Scale, where we teach people exactly what to do at each stage of entrepreneurship. And this, we have a stage that we call Busy Bee. And it's exactly when people hit six figures and they're busier than they've ever been in their lives. And it's like, they've got some traction, some things are working, they've got some money, but they are so insanely busy. They don't even get to enjoy their lives or enjoy the six figures, right? And you start to realize once you hit that number, you actually realize what a limitation it is. And you have to grow beyond that to be able to hire other people, start to do only what you're great at, really be able to step into that CEO role and even have a bigger impact, right? All of that is affected. So yes, I, obviously I'm a fan of make more.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you brought up the big leap in the book, that you like that book that has really inspired you. You brought up the idea of being jealous as being an okay thing and how it has helped you. So I want to know, how can people be stretching themselves, giving those big goals, but do you ever work with somebody where this is a little unrealistic, or are you anti-unrealistic? It doesn't have to be like, I want to hear your opinion on that. Like setting those big goals versus calm down. Maybe not right now. You're moving too fast.
Yes. Okay. So unrealistic. I think it's all really related to time. I think you can accomplish anything if you're willing to commit to it and be consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Right? It's a commitment. It's consistency. It's having courage and confidence to go forward. And once you're doing those things, you will hit that goal. I don't know exactly when you'll hit it. Maybe you'll hit it in 6 months. Maybe it'll take you 16 years, right? It depends on a lot of different factors and mostly your consistency. And I think people, you know, they make their dreams smaller because they're like, I don't want to show up every day. Okay, well, then don't, right? Like then maybe that's not really your dream and it's not worth the effort to you to accomplish that dream. Because if you want to have $1 million or more, it is definitely going to require effort. But really like having a fabulous Christmas holiday and putting up all the lights and making the tree look nice, that's also effort. Like literally anything that you want requires effort. So figure out what you want that's worth the effort to you and then go do the thing. So I don't believe in unrealistic, right? Like there's no really such thing, I don't think, as unrealistic. Yeah. I think we can have unrealistic timelines or unrealistic expectations, which are really related to, oh, I want all of these things. I want this amazing business. I want all of the money. I want all of the accolades. I want everyone to know my name, but I don't want to show up and put myself out there. I don't want to show up every day and put in the work. Okay, cool. Well, now your goals are unrealistic because you are putting in an unrealistic amount of effort in order to make that happen. And the effort, I want to be clear, is not about working 80-hour work weeks, because I'm not impressed with that either. And people work 80 hours doing nonsense busy work that does not move the needle, right? What the effort is asking for the sale, right? Like what part of this is hard for you that you're procrastinating on? Do that and do it today, mm-hmm. right? And then do it again tomorrow and then do it. It might take you 5 minutes to send that email to ask for the sale, right? Or to pitch yourself for whatever the thing is that you're pitching yourself for. But that's where the magic is and the thing that we're afraid of, not the working 12 hours.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. No, and going back to the unrealistic, I love that idea of like, you can do anything, but how fast can you actually do it? And is your timeline? And then maybe looking back at something you didn't hit, okay, well, you didn't hit it in that time frame. That doesn't mean you can't still hit it. So let's keep working towards it.
Totally. Like it was never a doubt in my mind that I was going to run a business that was seven figures or beyond, or that I would be successful at it, because I was just like, I'm not going to quit until I do. The end. I'm all in. So I'm just going to keep showing up and keep doing this work and keep marching towards my goal. And that's it. Right. And if you know that, and if you have that conviction for what you want, it's no question that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Okay. So good, Rachel. So good. So let's go to the jealous comment. Like, it's okay to be jealous of things. It's okay to want things. How do you gave some stories of, you know, back in the day of what you saw or what you were around. How do you keep staying in that jealous mindset of experiencing, you know, hanging around the right people, all of that?
Yes. Well, you'll just get jealous about different things, right? Like I used to be jealous because I would see people going on these epic like vacations, and they'd be like, I'd see someone. I remember a particular time years ago where I, like somebody I was friends with on Facebook, was like, you know, they had just bought a house and then they were also on vacation like 2 weeks later. And I'm like, how do you buy a house and afford vacation? Like, what even is that life? Right? Like, it was so bizarre to me. Yeah. Like, how do you have the money to close out a house and then go on vacation? Which I have now done. Yeah. I actually went on vacation the week that we bought our house. So I've also gone on vacation while movers moved us into our house. Right. Like,
well, and it's funny because maybe you did that because you saw that somebody did it and you're like, oh, that you can do that. I've seen
it's possible. Yeah, exactly. That's why representation matters. Right. Mm-hmm. But yes, jealousy is actually, I wouldn't even say it's okay. I would say it's amazing. I think jealousy is great. Follow your jealousy because it's pointing to you to what your desires are. Mm. And so why deny that, right? If you want what you want, right? So if you want to, I don't know, provide better education for your kids, or if you want to live on a 50-acre ranch, like I do, I don't know. I grew up in the city. I have no idea why I felt so drawn to buy land and get horses and farm and do those kinds of things, but I was drawn to it. And now like the vision has altered to like all kinds of cool stuff that we can do with this property, that benefits other people. Right. So yeah, I think you just follow those dreams, follow those desires, their inklings. I feel like they're almost like messages from a higher power pointing you to what your purpose is. And sometimes you can't see the whole thing. It doesn't all make sense, but you just know this is your next step and you just do it. And when you see people having what you want, great. You know, when I was a kid, I went to this church in Queens, and I remember my pastor saying, don't get mad, get even, right? So it's like, if you see somebody that has what you want, don't get mad, put in the work, start doing the thing, start working towards that goal and get even.
Yeah. I love that. Now you brought up in the book about, I love this, and I'm not quoting because I don't remember what it is exactly, but you brought up how our children are not entitled to every minute of our day, and how that really has become a norm. And as a working mom, that can be exhausting, a working mom who then is trying to be homeschooling and all the other things. So let's just kind of go there for a minute, because not a lot of people are going to say that and not feel like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't be saying that because that's what we were supposed to do. No, not everybody was made to be like that. So I want to hear kind of just your opinion on that.
Yes. Isn't it interesting how men don't think that they need to devote their lives to their children? It's just it's just a social construct. That's all it is. And if you also look at the way other countries, you know, other people parent their children in other cultures, you can see that there's a wide array of how to parent, and there's pluses and minuses to lots of different parenting styles, right? So the idea that like you're a terrible person and terrible mother if you do not give over your entire life to your child. Like when I hear the other pet peeve that I have, in addition to, I don't want to make money that women say is, you know, my children are my life, right? Like, or I had no life before my kids, or they're my everything. And I'm like, I love my children. I am delighted by them, but I had a life before them and I have a life outside of them. And also, how scary for your children if they have to be your whole world. Like then you kind of take away their autonomy because now they got to please mommy and jump through hoops for mommy and spend all their time. They don't want to hang out with you once they get to a certain age. Honestly, even my three-year-old at times is like, he wants to run behind his brother and sister and he don't want to hang out with me, you know? So I think sometimes we create there's these things that we sort of reward in our culture. And then it becomes this like weird morphed, not good for relationships, even thing. So I encourage women to be who you are, right? Like, and be the kind of parent that you want to be. And don't like think that you have to. I was just talking to my operations director who just had a baby. She literally came back from maternity leave today. And she was talking about how she had to unfollow one of the people that she follows on Instagram to get parenting advice because they were like talking about making sensory toys for your baby. And she's like, I can barely get enough sleep. What the hell are you talking? I'm not making sensory. I don't want to make anything. Right. Like, I barely can make myself a meal. Like, what are you talking about? And it's like, for some people, they've got the energy for that completely. And the creativity, and it makes them happy and wonderful. And for other people, they're like, no, hand this baby over to somebody who can help so I can go take a shower and get a break, right? Mm-hmm. Both are valid. So I think this idea that there's one way to be a worthy woman and a successful woman or a woman worthy of admiration is a complete BS, right? So we have to let that go and not use our children as excuses for why we're not accomplishing our dreams. In fact, I think our children would probably appreciate knowing that they were inspiration for you to follow your dreams versus they were the thing that held you back from the life that you wanted. Because, right, what are you teaching them? Then they're going to grow up and what? Devote their lives to their children and therefore not do the things that they want to do, right? Do you want to see your kids not accomplishing their dreams? Of course not. So then do the same for yourself. Mother yourself as well. The same way, same hopes and dreams you have for your children, have those same hopes and dreams for yourself.
Yeah. And you were modeling, right? So they're yes. watching us. They're watching us. And I think the best thing we can show them is that, like you just said, their life doesn't stop when they have children. Like they get to continue to be fulfilled and try new things and all of that. So no, I love that conversation. And, you know, I feel good about this topic now, but there was a time when I felt like I had to watch my kids at home because I worked from home and people would think that's funny if I sent them to daycare. And I had to work through all of that when I was finally going, but I was wired to work. Like I love work and not wired to be a stay-at-home mom. And it took me a long time to get out of that guilt of being okay with it.
For sure. I know. I mean, I was building my business with my daughter, you know, right there. There were times where like, she's like just giggling or fussing in her little, whatever bouncy chair. And I'm like hiding in the closet, peeking at her through the closet on a conference call with a client that I'm like, don't want them to know that I'm taking care of a baby while I'm working on their stuff, you know? Right. So yeah, I've been through all the same things and, you know, had more children, right? So I have a total of four. And my children are amazing and I really truly enjoy spending time with them. We have great quality time, but I didn't have to do all of the labor involved in order for them to bond with me, in order for us to have great times together and be a good parent. So I think we really need to rethink all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And things are changing, right? We get to change with those times. And I think just like you said, there's not one right way, like do what feels good for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, so let's say somebody six figures wants to go to seven wants to go to eight. How do we become that person now? How do we start to really embody I think a lot of people think, well, I'll do that when I get there. I'll start making this important when, or I'll start working on my health when. But a lot of times it's, we've got to be her now in order to really achieve those goals.
Yes. Yes. And so it's, you know, when I actually had a coach ask me that question. And when I was thinking about, like, I want to be able to pay myself more and be more financially comfortable, have less stress, be running a company that is having a bigger impact. And when I thought about that, you know, I thought about, okay, so how does a woman who's running a seven-figure business or an eight-figure business, what is she just spending her time doing every day? What is she putting up with or not putting up with? Mm-hmm. Is she allowing people to just put nonsense on her schedule? Is she allowing people to waste her time, right? Like, what is she allowing? How is she taking care of herself? Does she realize her own value and therefore take excellent care of herself because she understands that value, right? Comes from, you got to take care of whatever. If you had a prize winning racehorse, right? You'd take care of that horse, yeah, right? So they could win their next race. And so you have to do the same thing for yourself. So I just started asking myself those questions. And of course I couldn't do all of it. Maybe at the time I couldn't afford a full-time nanny, but I could definitely hire a babysitter once a week to help me out. Right. Like, yeah, I was just starting to move in that direction. And like, I started getting up at 4 a.m. so I could go to the gym and so I could have some quiet time to myself every day. Like, those mm-hmm. were just little things that didn't cost me much or didn't cost me anything, yeah, that allowed me to start to step into the person that I wanted to be. And then from there, you start making better decisions and you start making the $1 million decisions that lead, yes, to the $1 million bank account.
Yeah. Well, and like you just said, those are some really low cost, not expensive, not costing you anything. Sometimes we think, oh, okay, I've got to be her now. So we go out and buy the things to make it look like we're her. Yeah. And that's not what we're talking about. So that, I just want to make sure people are hearing that too. You bringing that up and you're, that's not going to get you further ahead by pretending and faking it till you make it.
Right. And, you know, there may be some investments, like maybe you are investing in a coach or a course or whatever, yes, you know, learning experiences. Absolutely. Maybe, yeah, make some investments in yourself, but really think about, how do you want to show up differently?
Yep.
And, you know, how are you going to elevate your own leadership and your own life, right? So that you can, yeah, then be leading others. So, yeah, I think that's an important piece of it. We have to evolve. Yes. And really, that's the blessing of owning a business. And even the wealth journey, it's a personal development journey, right? Like, there's so much, mm-hmm, that you can learn about yourself along the way. Yeah. And there's so many ways that you can elevate your thinking, right? To really, mm-hmm, not be mired down in frivolous things all day, right? Yeah. But like, really keep that bigger picture in mind every day. So I personally think the growth is amazing and sometimes challenging. And sometimes you're like, I don't want growth right now. I don't want to grow today.
Yeah, I agree. I've been an entrepreneur now for 19 years. And there have been seasons where I'm like, I'm just okay, just kind of like floating here. Like,
yes,
I just slow down and take a break and enjoy the success. And then, yes, it's like 6 months later, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. Let's do something like new, yes, something, right? So allow yourself to be in seasons of being hungry for it and then just needing to take a little bit of a break, you know? Yes. So I love that. And one of the things you said, I always tell my community, there are expenses and there are revenue generators. And to me, yes, a good coach is always a revenue generator. It's always, yes, that opportunity for growth. Going to buy maybe that purse or that car that you don't really need right now, that's more of an expense. So I think it's really good to start to say, like, well, where are those opportunities for growth and where can I make the most of my money?
Yes. And I will say too, there are things that I think for some people it's an expense and for others, maybe it is a revenue generator. Like when I invested in a stylist and started getting, yeah, nicer clothing, and that changed how I was showing up and I wanted, yeah, to do videos more and like, or getting a nicer haircut, right? Like going, yeah, to a nice salon. Some of those things definitely boosted my confidence and put, yeah, me in a position to make more. So I think we really just have to really think it through and think about, like, and my sister, you know, she's a realtor. She's driving around town all day. And when she, yes, invested more in her car, it gave her confidence, you know, mm-hmm, and made her feel like she was showing up in a more professional way. So I think it's important to really think about that, yeah, and really tune into, be honest with yourself. Like, listen, yeah, lie to the whole world if you need to, but at least be honest with yourself.
100%. And you're totally right. Cause one of the things I remember not paying myself in the beginning of my businesses, I always regret not at least like rewarding myself with, yes, a manicure or like doing something like to be like, okay, I can't pay myself this much salary, but like maybe that Starbucks trip is the reward you get for working all, right, week or whatever that is. So I think that's a really good point that you just brought up that I have not said. So I'm so happy to hear you like kind of just bring that to light. Cause you're right. Everybody's in such a different stage and that yes. might be the little motivation you need to happen, you know, for next week.
Exactly. Exactly. So and that's why tuning into your desires is key. Really yeah. tuning into what are the stories you're telling yourself and really asking mm-hmm. yourself, is that true? Or is that something I'm just making yeah. up? And a lot yeah. of times you are making it yeah. up.
I love it. Okay. I could talk to you all day. This is so good. Where can they go find your book or anything else you want to, they want to jump in, learn about your community. Where can they go?
Awesome. Well, the book is called We Should All Be Millionaires and they can find it at Barnes and Noble or wherever books are sold, on Amazon, everywhere. And, you can find me at hello7.co is my website. And check out our podcast. We have a podcast called the Hello 7 Podcast that people seem to like. I rant a lot.
I love it. Love it. So good. Rachel, thank you for being here. Everyone, go grab a copy of her book. You will not be disappointed. Even as somebody who is a seven-figure entrepreneur, you were reminding me of things. You were making me go, ooh, did I fall back into that rut? Am I doing that?
Yes.
You know, you think you outgrow things and then you're like, I don't know that I've done my annual friend review. I love somebody mentioned that in your book. I'm like, I maybe need to do that again. There's little things like that could be massive golden nuggets. So
yes,
definitely grab it no matter where you're at in that range. So again, thanks for being here. So good. And go grab her new book. If you're loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, I want to invite you to hang out with me for 5 days. Yes, join us in our next live 5-day bootcamp where we will be discussing 10 free or low-cost ways to drive more traffic. And you will be blown away by the content that we cover inside. Go to drivemoretraffic.net to get signed up and let's get you more visible.